Welcome to the Seeds Church podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe to us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on our Apple and Spotify podcasts. We hope you enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday service.
If you've got your Bibles, you'd like to open to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're reading from verse 1 to the end of verse 7. So 2 Timothy chapter 1. And it says this. Paul, an apostle of Christ by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Amen.
Thanks, Jonathan. I want you to imagine yourself in a situation that I faced some time ago. You're back at high school, or maybe for some of you, you're still at high school. It's a school day. You wake up to your alarm, buzzing, buzzing, buzzing. You don't get up. Your mum then drags you out of bed. You start to get ready. You smash down your Weet-Bix. You race to the bus to not miss your bus. You get on the bus. You go to school. You get there. You see your friends. You catch up what you've missed on the last day since you've seen each other. You get to your first lesson. The teacher starts reading out the roll. All's going well. But then the teacher starts to explain what's happening for that lesson. During that lesson is oral presentations. You've got to give a presentation worth half of your grade for the semester. And then all of a sudden, all this fear starts to take hold of you. You start freaking out, especially because you have not prepared anything. You've completely forgotten. You're thinking to yourself, what am I going to do? I'm going to look completely stupid in front of everyone else. And my teacher's going to think I'm a failure. What am I going to do? And you start racking your brain. You start thinking, all right, what can I do? Maybe if I see other people's presentations, I can copy some of theirs and just sort of wing it. You think, yeah, great idea. So the teacher looks down their roll and goes, we're going to go randomly today. And they picks out a name. Boom, it's your name. You think, what am I going to do? You start freaking out. Your palms start sweating. Your heart starts beating. You walk out the front. You look at everyone else. You go to say one word and you wake up. You wake up in a pool of sweat. It was all a dream. We're not going to analyze the dreams that I had from a few months ago today. But this is a dream that I had. And it's incredible the feelings and emotions. Like, as I woke up, it felt real. My heart was like beating. I was like, boy, I'm not trying to analyze it too much. But I felt so much fear in that moment. Fear is a very funny emotion, a feeling that we can have. And for some people, they actually like being scared. I think that this is weird. Does anyone like here scary movies or sort of horror movies? It's at church. You're still allowed to put your hand up. Anyone? Yeah, a few people out there like being scared. Fantastic. Well, I remember one time that I was watching a movie and I really don't like scary movies. Like, they scare the heck out of me. And I went to the movies. I was in year 9 and I was there with my school friends. And I didn't want to look scared in front of my friends. We're watching this movie. It was I Am Legend by Will Smith movie from 2007. And to be honest, if you like scary movies, this is barely a scary movie, but I found it scary. And it's this like post-apocalyptic movie and there's like just zombies jumping out. And I was just like trying not to like jump the whole time. And as I was like watching the movie, I was sort of like squinting my eyes a bit so I didn't have to see it as much. But then I didn't want to look scared in front of my friends. But it was absolutely terrifying. It robbed me of sleep for like the next couple of weeks. Not that I wanted to admit it or anything, but just this week in preparing this message, I saw like the trailer for like I Am Legend 2 is coming out next year. And I started watching it and I was like, what am I doing? This is just bringing back all those feelings from before. So go for it. If you want to see it, go for it. I will not be watching that movie. But fear is an interesting thing. It's not just a feeling or a thought. It's like this whole body experience. When we start to feel fear, the brain kicks in. It's this elaborate response. Within seconds, the sympathetic nervous system is kicking into gear. There's fight or flight. There's adrenaline going through your veins. Your pupils dilate. Your heart starts beating. Your muscles tense up. Your blood flows into different areas. You feel flushed and sweaty. You've got less logical thinking because blood flows from the front of your brain. But fear is not a bad thing. Fear keeps us alive. It protects us. It's an important thing. But for some of you here, you might be thinking, oh, what's Matt talking about? Like, I don't get fear. I don't get scared. I don't have fear. But I'd say to all of us that I think we all experience fear, even if we don't realize it. A guy that knows a little bit more about this than me, Trevor Reagan, shares about how fear is present when there's certain situations or circumstances. And whether if there's all four, it's definitely present, or even just a couple. When there's uncertainty, where there's change, where there's attention, other people are seeing you, or where there's struggle. If all four of those are there, it's the perfect concoction for fear. And even sometimes one of those is enough to cause fear. But fear has an impact. It influences us. Sometimes fear actually drives our behavior. And that's because we always find a way to avoid things that cause us fear. We don't want to experience that, so we try to avoid that. And even if something is a real fear or a perceived threat or fear, we have the same full body response. Like if I'm being chased by like a bear, I'm going to be freaking out. Like my adrenaline's going to be going through my veins. But if I was to say and point out one of you right now and get you to come up and start do a dance in front of everyone else, what's probably going to happen? You're going to have that same feeling, that same adrenaline, same nervousness in that as well, whether it's a real or perceived fear. And I even just had just a little experience of fear recently. I was on a Zoom call and it was a Q&A session. You could ask questions. And this guy that we were asking questions to was this like international like preacher and pastor. It was like, I wasn't probably ever going to get this opportunity ever again. And with this opportunity to ask questions. And there was all these people on this call, like people that are way more experienced than me, way more credentialed than me. And I was thinking this question I really wanted to ask. But as soon as I started to think about asking it, I started to feel fearful. I started to feel anxious. I started to think, oh, is that a dumb question? Like, are they going to think I'm stupid? Are they going to think I'm inexperienced? I'm not qualified? I'm a bit of an imposter. And so in that moment, I didn't ask that question. That fear actually drove my behavior. And what fear did in that moment, it actually robbed me of something. It robbed me of the opportunity to ask the question and to learn, to grow, to experience something. And I want to ask you today, what has fear robbed you of? Because I think fear robs us all of something, whether we realize it or not. It drives our behavior, whether we freeze, whether we withdraw, whether we avoid something. We don't want to seem silly or stupid, or something is unknown, so it causes us fear, so we avoid it. Or we see that there's a struggle, so we want to avoid it. Whether it's asking that question so you can grow, or whether it's avoiding that new opportunity or circumstance because, oh, it's just too hard, it would cause fear. Or whether it's that relationship because you've got to put yourself out there and you might actually end up being hurt. Fear can rob us of something. Even when we don't realize that we're fearful, it can also rob us of something. So often in that fight or flight, sometimes we fight when we're fearful. If we don't know it, we cause damage and we rob ourselves of relationship because we're trying to protect ourselves. So we lash out, we turn on people so quickly. It's been so evident all around us at the moment with extra fear on top of the pandemic. You see it on like social media, people turn on each other so quickly. It's driven out of hate and there's so much fear around. It robs us of right relationship. Rick Warren has this great quote. Fear is a self-imposed prison that will keep you from becoming what God intends you to be. You must move against it with weapons of faith and love. Fear is a self-imposed prison that keeps us from becoming what God intends us to be. So again, I ask, what has fear robbed you of? Because I think that fear can drive our behavior, but I think we were created for so much more than just to live a life avoiding fear. So what does that mean for us today? especially for those that would call us followers of Jesus. Well, I want to look at someone in their life and what we can actually learn from them. And so last week, Mark Elford kicked off our series looking at characters of the New Testament. And so Mark looked at Priscilla and Aquila. And today we're going to have a look at Timothy. We're going to look at the life of Timothy. We're going to look at his life and what it actually means for us today. And what can we learn, especially around this idea of fear? Because Timothy is a fascinating character in the Bible. You can read about him all through the New Testament, whether it's in Acts, you can read of some of his life. You can read about the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy in Timothy 1 Timothy 2 Timothy. And so Timothy's life, he lived in a town called Lystra. He had a Jewish mother and a Greek father, which was significant in that space of ministry. He was taught the scriptures, which would have been the Old Testament growing up. And he had this mother and grandmother had this heritage of faith that helped encourage him and help him grow in his faith. And he probably came to faith through one of Paul's ministry journeys through Lystra, and ended up that Timothy ended up following Paul and helping support him in his ministry and his preaching and his evangelism. And Timothy was so significant that Paul actually mentions him as a co-sender in 6 of his letters. And eventually Timothy pastors a church in Ephesus. And if you were to ask Paul, like, Nate, if you could sum up Timothy in one word, what would the word be that he would use? It would be faithful. Time and time again, Timothy was someone that Paul could count on. He had this incredible relationship with Paul, his mentor, and Paul would even call him a son. That's how close their relationship was. And when Paul was right at the end of his life in 2 Timothy, what does he do? He actually writes to Timothy and calls Timothy to come to him, because that's who he wants by his side right at the end, to bring him his coat, to keep him warm. But if we look through 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, there's something that I find really interesting, and it sort of stands out quite frequently, is what Paul shared with Timothy around being strong and not being fearful. When we hear this and hear it repeated again and again, it maybe makes us think maybe Timothy was someone that struggled with fear. Maybe he was timid Tim. But Paul tells Timothy, we can read about it in plenty of passages. I want to go through really quickly now. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 1, Paul tells Timothy, be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 16, 10 to 11, Paul tells the church in Corinth, please make sure Timothy has nothing to fear when he comes to see you. Treat him well, send him back in peace. This like really makes me think of like when my mum and dad would go out and leave me with babysitters, telling me I had to not be mean to my brothers and sisters. I get that sort of vibe. But then again in 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul tells Timothy, don't let people look down on you because you are young, but set an example. Like at this time, Timothy was like 30 years old. Like he was young for his position, etc. But not like he was a kid or something. He was 30 years old. So I wonder, was Timothy someone that had a disposition to fear? Timid Tim, shy, lacking confidence. Maybe so. But when we look at Timothy's life, he had to experience so many things that were difficult, that would have found himself in situations that would have actually caused him to fear. He was facing things well beyond himself. He was facing things like opposition from these churches, things way worse than a badly worded email or something. There was heresy. People were believing all these weird things about God, etc., that he was having to deal with. There was persecution. Like he would have looked at Paul's life and gone, wow, like imagine if that stuff starts happening to me. Incredible things that Paul had to face. Stoned, imprisoned, etc. And so maybe Timothy was fearful. Maybe he had a fearful disposition. But maybe also he just faced circumstances that actually caused him to fear. And therefore, wherever we are at with fear, etc., I think we can actually learn so much from Timothy. I love that segue. Yeah, beautiful. Sometimes in life, we need to be reminded of things. And just like we have phones are great technology. They remind us of things. We get a notification or a message or something like that. I know for myself, I need to be reminded of something. And I have a real passion and love for food. Like I love food. And I go out with my wife. We go out with date night each week. It's one of my highlights of the week. And we always try to go to somewhere different. And I wouldn't say we go to fancy food, unless you call fancy burger fancy. But that's our sweet spot. We love burgers and chips and just greasy American food. That's like my favorite. And my issue is I go to a new place and I just get excited at the menu. I look at it and I go, oh, chicken burger, I could get that. Or beef burger, I could get that. Chicken and beef, I'm getting that. And then there's fries, there's loaded fries, and then there's thick shakes, and there's all these sides and stuff. And I just start going, yeah, I'll get that, I'll get that, I'll get that. And Jazz is rolling her eyes, and I'm ordering all these things. And by the end of the night, I just end up feeling so sick. I just eat all this greasy food, and it sits in my gut, and I never learn from it. I get back, next time around, I go, oh, look at this place. We could get this or this or this. And Jazz will remind me, and sometimes I listen, sometimes I won't. But I need reminding sometimes. I think we need reminding in our lives. And I think Paul seemed to think that Timothy needed reminding. He needed being reminded of something in the face of fear. So we pick up from the passage that Jonathan read out before in 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to start from verse 2. 2 Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as day and night I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Paul is reminding Timothy of his confidence in him, reminding him of his relationship with him, that he's backing him in. He's reminding him of the strong friendship, the bond, even that father-son relationship. In the face of fear, Paul is reminding Timothy that he has his back. And then in verse 5, it says, this is Paul again, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. As well as this, Paul was reminding Timothy of who he had behind him, the heritage, the rich faith he had in his family, the example that they had set, and the support that they were for him as well. I think Paul is reminding Timothy that fear is not meant to be tackled alone. The same way in our lives, we're not meant to tackle fear alone, that God has put people in our lives to support, to help guide us. And now that last part of the passage, the crux of my message today is from 2 Timothy 1, 6 to 7. Paul says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, or another translation, fearful, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. We look at that verse 6, and it speaks about that gift of God. And some may say that it could be a special ministry gifting, but also with the use of gift of God in other parts of Scripture and how it links in with verse 7. It's most likely talking about the Spirit of God. That Timothy needed to be reminded of something else, not just of Paul's relationship with him or his family and his friends, but he had the Spirit of God living and dwelling inside of him. And what's amazing is that it says there in verse 7, for the Spirit God gave us. It's not the Spirit God gave you. That same Spirit that lived inside of Timothy also lives inside of you and me. In the face of fear, God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. But what is this Spirit living inside of Timothy? It is a spirit not of fear. The fear is not of God, but is one of, firstly, of power. Power to overcome fear, to be bold. But sometimes it's just a power just to carry on, to stand up in the midst of disappointment and pain. And I know sometimes I actually contribute to my own fear. And that's because I try to do things in my own power and in my own strength. I feel like I get to the end of myself times, I have limited resources, limited thought, limited strength. And I feel the unknown and the struggle, and I start to fear, what's next, etc. But that's because I'm using words like, I need to, I have to, it's all on me. And every now and then there might be a situation that is. But instead of actually relying on the power source that we have available in the Holy Spirit, sometimes we treat this as like a emergency break glass. Like we'll go through everything in our own power and strength, but if we need to, we've got that emergency break glass that we can pull it out if we need. Does our fear come in because of we're looking to our own source of power instead of the Holy Spirit. And someone really wise said to me once, it's like, Matt, do you know what? You can lay things down, you go to sleep, and God keeps working. Like, that's such a profound truth that God is still working even when we can't. Secondly, this Spirit living inside of us is a spirit of love. It's a spirit that we can actually receive and understand God's love for us. But in this passage, it's more talking about the love we can then experience and then love other people. Because love is the opposite of fear. It says that perfect love drives out fear. Fear breeds hate. But love is more than a feeling, a service to others. And God has for you and helps us to love others with the same love that we have so received. That even when we don't feel it, the Spirit living inside of us can help us to love. And thirdly, it's a spirit of self-control. Another translation says, sound mind. To control oneself in the face of panic or passion or being swept away or running away. I think back to that scientific thing that when we are experiencing fear, we don't think logically a lot of the time because the blood isn't going to that logical part of our brain. And we've got to remember that we have the Spirit of God living and dwelling inside of us. A spirit of self-control and sound mind. And what does it say there to do with this spirit? When we bring it back to verse 6, it says, for this reason, I remind you to fan the flame, to ignite it. I was on a camp recently. My other role is a chaplain at a high school, and we went to Woodhouse a few weeks ago, and it was when it was raining and raining and raining and raining and raining, and it was so cold, and it was my job to help the students make a fire. And it was very clear that a lot of them had never made a fire, would not survive in the wild. And we're trying to make this fire, and we put it together, and I'm trying to teach them how we can fan the fire. We can allow the fire to grow and to develop, to get hotter. And all that they wanted to do is they get the fire going, and then they get like wet logs, and they just put it on the fire. I'm like, that's not how you fan the fire. And then they'd get like really distracted and like leave it for 20 minutes, and then it would just like slowly simmer down. And to be honest, it was an absolute disaster. That was some of the worst marshmallows we ever ate. But this idea of fire, I think Timothy is Paul's reminding Timothy he needs to fan the flame. Sometimes that we've got that spirit living inside of us, but it's sort of simmering low. It's those coals. We need to rekindle that fire, knowing that he has the gift of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And so what I want to say to you today is to fight fear, fan the flame. I don't know about you, but I need more power, more love, more self-control in my life that the Holy Spirit offers. Fear comes and goes. But as we can hear in Timothy, we don't need to be without fear to be faithful. Instead of letting our lives be dictated by fear, we need to recalling and submitting to what we have already available to us to fan the flame of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us as believers. So how do we fight fear, fan the flame? That's a hard thing to say. Fight fear. Say that to the person next to you. Fight fear, fan the flame. Yeah. Sorry if you just got spat on by the person next to you. But I think there's some practical ways that we can fight fear and fan the flame. I think this idea of fire is a really important one. That sometimes we need to actually stoke the fire in the same way that we need to, as a fire, is that you need to continually tend to it. If you just leave it, it'll run dry. If you continually just stoke it, give it some fuel, open it up a bit so oxygen can get in. In the same way, in our lives, we need to stoke this, the Holy Spirit that is living inside of us. We need a daily dependence on it. I think sometimes we can get so consumed with fear because we're so fixated on ourselves and our circumstances instead of God. Sometimes we can be great doers, but sometimes we just got to be. We got to have that daily dependence on God to make that space. It's so important to have that quiet time where we can actually stop in the midst of fear, in the midst of difficult circumstances, and actually be with the presence of our God and to actually experience peace, a peace that goes beyond all understanding. To actually stop and be still and go, God, where are you leading? Because I have no idea what's going on. I don't know what's happening. It's so unknown. There's so much struggle ahead. But you know what? That's the space where we need to be with God. Secondly, fear alone is frightening. Sometimes we feel like We leave it all to ourselves, but with fear, we need to talk to other people. We need to reach out, ask for prayer. The spirit that lives inside of us is a spirit that calls us to community. Life is meant to be in community. Fan the flame. My third and last one is to step out. Sometimes we just need to actually step out in faith, to actually allow God to move in that. And there's a great question that had a really significant impact in my life. And I was reflecting on this message and I really felt like this was a question for someone here today. And that is, what is the step of faith that you need to take that relies on faith, that gives space for God to come through? I'll say it again. What is the step of faith that you need to take that relies on faith, that gives space for God to come through? Maybe that's a step of faith that you don't know what's next. Maybe you feel like God's calling it to. Maybe you're feeling and experiencing fear. But what is that step you need to take? Because when we make space, when it's not in our strength and our power, God is actually able to do immeasurably more than what we can ever imagine when we allow Him to be able to move. And I think Timothy was a living, breathing testament of what it looks like to be faithful in spite of fear. Later in Hebrews 13:23, we read that Timothy was actually imprisoned for his faith and then he was released. And history would tell us that Timothy was actually martyred for his faith, for standing up for his faith. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like timid Tim to me. Timothy didn't let fear rob him of what God was calling himself to his life, in his life. You and me, we are meant to live for so much more than just avoiding fear. Maybe you need to be reminded today to fan the flame of the spirit living inside of you, which gives power, love, and self-control.
Well, thanks for listening to the Seeds Church podcast. We hope you join in with us next week. For more information, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org.